My mind has been ruined, okay? My ideas of what are possible and what I am capable of doing has completely changed. All right, my friends, the Ultimate OD Podcast. Today we are talking about giving yourself permission to succeed, permission to fail. We're redefining success and giving yourself the tools you need to take your office to the next level. Take your career to the place you want it to be at. Stop sitting around. Let's take action. We have the closing thought of the episode. This is the Ultimate OD Podcast. Here we go. All right, my friends, the Ultimate OD Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for all the listeners that keep liking, following, give us 5-star reviews. It helps us grow. Again, today we're diving inside my mind and kind of getting a look into what the mentality is that I have and just this mindset that I've continued to just water and grow the past year and a half. We'll start off with a little quote. Old Thomas Jefferson says, "Do you want to know who you are? Don't ask, act. Action will delineate and define you." All right. I'm sick of sitting back and talking about what I'm going to do, that I'm X, Y, or Z, and just talking about it. I've been trying for the past year and a half, 2 years, to really take an aggressive action and be something bigger than what I am right now. Be that dream that was in my head when I was an undergrad and what I was going to grow and build. And again, I'm a nice little practice, but it's a nice little practice. Since that P3 conference, I know I talk a lot about P3. Pick your poison, whether it's Vision Source or whatever you got to be part of. You have to aspire for more. You have to have a rabbit to chase, if you will. And since that conference, my mind has been ruined, okay? My ideas of what are possible and what I am capable of doing has completely changed. Went to that conference and saw some really big offices. Optiport is like P3's bigger brother, and I want to be one of those. Those are doctors with like 3, 4, 5 offices doing $10, $12, $15 million. I'm like, good night. You know, the million-dollar practice, the million-dollar dream is what, we talk about, but that nothing compared to what these guys have done. And I'm the type of person when I see something like that, I'm not jealous by any means. I'm happy for them because if they can do it, I can do it. I see successful people, and this might be a bad mindset, might be arrogant. I don't care what you think it is. But I'm like, I can do that too, right? This whole podcast, I listen to so many stinking podcasts, and I'm like, man, I can do a podcast like that. I can make this happen. And you know what? It's stinking hard. I've been doing this for 4 years now, going on 4 years. And heaven forbid if you listen to some of those early episodes. I kid you not. It's been a process. Look at my YouTube channel for my office. And again, I see people making videos. I'm like, I can do that. And then you get in front of a camera and you're like, a robot. It's hard to be in front of a camera. It's hard to be natural. And I've gotten a lot better as I went, but I still look at these things. I'm like, why not me? Right? That's my mindset, right? Now, don't get me wrong. These things are stinking hard. Like those Optiport practices, stinking hard. $1 million practice is hard. It takes a lot of growth, a lot of focus, a lot of determined effort to get there. But the things that pop into my head, number one, are the Dunning-Kruger effect. All right, Dunning-Kruger, if you don't know what that is people with a limited competence in a particular area overestimate their abilities. This guy, when we're talking a podcast, when we're talking, the YouTube channel that I wanted to start. But I look back, and the things I'm learning now, 13 years later, and when I started practice, I had no idea what I didn't know. Right. And I'm just now learning some of these things that make a huge difference and it's allowed me to get to the next level. And part of that's because I dropped the bravado, stopped being afraid, and talked to people that have done it before. You know, it's really cool if you ask people that are successful, you know what they want to do? Help you. When they're really successful, they look at you at where you're at, and although you might think you're their competition, you're not even on their radar. They're thinking 5, 6, 7 steps ahead of where you're even at. And it's a good mindset to have, is realizing that these people want to help you. Reach out. That's why I have this podcast. I am not where I want to be, but I'm way farther than when I've started. And I've learned so much. I try to share with you on a weekly basis. And the second thing that comes to my mind, Dunning-Kruger, and then the imposter syndrome, right? Imposter syndrome is such a joke. Right? Like, I don't belong here. I'm worried. What if I'm not good? Well, you don't belong here. You should be worried, and you're not really good. Right? The first time you do anything, it's stinking hard. Like, surprise, I feel like I don't belong. You don't. But what did TJ say? Take action. That will define who you are. If you don't quit, you can't fail. I think the imposter syndrome, feeling phony or whatnot, is just dumb, right? And don't get me wrong, I feel it. I go into these rooms with big offices, I'm nervous that I'll get out. But I'm not afraid because I want to get better. And I'm like, I'm going to go in there and I'll figure out how to swim. Jump off the cliff and learn how to fly. Well, I went to a meeting recently, an ex-Demi meeting. Great drug, love it. But went there. And I remember I used to go to those meetings in my area and I'd see the other offices and I'd be like, ooh, what are they doing? This and that. And just like looking at them in awe. Now they're my peers, right? Granted, I've been doing this for 13 years. My office is more established. But success to me isn't that. That's what is expected of an office, right? Success is getting to that next level, that, you know, Optiport level. Right. So really cool to think that, see how my mindset has shifted. Now I outline all this. It has a purpose. Follow me here. And this will get us to the meat of what I want to talk about today. I had a staff member. She's nice, works hard, brand new. And I used to be very involved in all of our new staff members, getting them on board, training them, where they're at, etc. Now I really just leave it up to my managers. I'll say hi to them. I want to know what's going on. But every time I said hi to her, it was kind of like I freaked the crap out of her. And I am not a scary person. Right? I get I may be intimidating because he's the boss, etc. But I was just like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? And I get a deer in the headlights look. It was awkward, right? To the point that it was actually awkward. So I just sensed something was off and I said, all right, managers, two managers, me, let's sit down and just do a progress check. And I told them to give her a heads up. We're going to meet. Just want to see where you're at. And I started off with, how are things going? And she said, okay. And I'm like, all right, can I have a little more than that? And she's like, good. I think things are going good. And I just got into it. I'm like, this is kind of what I'm talking about. I like ask you what's going on and you're kind of afraid and whatnot, like, are you okay? Do you like the job? Like, just trying to figure out what the temperature of the room was. And of course, as happens with me all the time, the not intimidating guy, she starts crying. And she's like, I'm not crying. I'm like, here's some tissue. You are crying, but tell me more. And she's like, I just don't want to mess up. Is there a process that you have if you're going to get let go? And I'm like, do you think you're going to get let go? Like, I look at my manager, I'm like, have we given you any indication, any inclination that you're not doing well? And she's like, no, but at the bank, it's other people's money. And if you mess up on a pricing, so she's so worried about making a mistake that she's talked herself into her head, she's going to get let go. All right. Remember that imposter syndrome. Remember that Dunning-Kruger. You can go either way in this one. This is probably an imposter syndrome, but she's sabotaging herself. And we do this to ourselves as doctors when we try something new, but she's sabotaging herself. And I'm basically, you look at her number, she's doing great. She's above average, works hard, shows up. And I looked at her and I said, you are not going anywhere. What you need to do is give yourself permission to fail. Period. You need to give yourself permission to fail because, spoiler alert, you are not perfect. Look at my two managers, look at myself. We mess up on a daily, right? I mean, there's not too many things, if you show up and you're sincere and authentic and trying your best, that you can do that can really get you in trouble. Oh, I told her, unless you tell a patient to F off or something like that, like go really ballistic on me, you're fine. Just keep working hard, but give yourself a permission to fail. And let's take that both ways. And that's the point of this podcast. What I'm trying to illustrate for you is for us, we need to give ourselves permission to fail or permission to succeed. They're the same, one and the same in my mind. But people will look at like a Tim Ferriss or a an athlete or a entrepreneur that has accomplished something, that has a big office. Jack Schaefer is one of the OGs down south. You know, he had like 15 practices. Ossip Optometry, I think, in Indiana. Dr. Rosen in Illinois, they have like 50 offices, just huge stinking things. And you're like, oh, what do they do? And honestly, there's luck involved. Things, opportunity happens, but they made it happen. Like us, they were doctors and took advantage of the opportunities that they had. They didn't wait for someone to say, oh, it's okay if you're successful. It's okay if you start 50 offices. They just stinking did it. Right? Same thing with us. We don't need permission to be successful. We don't need permission to tell ourselves it's okay to fail because it is. You have to know who you are, what you stand for, and what you believe in, and give yourself this permission. It's a huge mindset shift when you actually realize this, that you can do what someone else is doing, and they don't have to give you permission to do it. You can just do it. Put it out there in the ether. Take action, make it happen. Thomas Jefferson. Action will delineate and define you. Okay? Now realize that by doing this, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be smooth. It's not going to go how you think it's going to go. But that's the beauty of it. That's the journey. That's the stuff that you live for, right? Give yourself permission. And the question you may be asking yourself, and it's, I get it. How do you give yourself permission to succeed and, consequently permission to fail? Right? I have four things that you can do to kind of give yourself this permission. All right? Number one, always give the nod to action. Right? You will always achieve more by taking action, not thinking on it, not overanalyzing, paralysis by analysis, right? Take action. Now, sometimes action is cutting things out of your life, cutting things out of your practice, not doing certain things. But most of the time, it's doing something. We're going to take photos on every patient. We're going to, pre-appoint patients. Stop talking about it and doing it. I guarantee there's something that you guys have been talking about for the past year or the past month about your office that you want to do, that you're going to get to. When it came to doing photos for patients, I've been talking about this for about a year and a half. And I had a million reasons why it wouldn't work. Oh, it's going to mess up with flow. We don't have a big enough space. Like, is it quick enough? You know what? I started doing it and flow is fine because I just took action. Right? So always lean towards action. If you take action, you're going to succeed, fail, whatever, but you're going to give yourself that permission. You're going to be more on the path of success. Number two, your internal monologue, your narrative that you're telling yourself has to be a mindset of optimism and success. All right? Who says you can't do something? Next time you're thinking about, I'm going to have three practices, I'm going to have one practice. If you're thinking about just starting a practice, you're like, oh, but what if this happens? What if this happens? I don't know if I can do this. How do you do this? And you start thinking about all these steps, all these things you have to do. Number one, remember, just take action. Do something that moves you in that direction. But two, stop worrying about so many things and say, who says I can't do this? Why will this work? Right? Every now and then, you got to give yourself the benefit of the doubt that you'll figure it out. We are successful people. Think about how far we've come to get to this point. Now, to get to the next level, to start a practice, to be a leader, and not have a job, you have to grow. And to add another doctor, to add more offices, you have to grow. I tried that without growth, and I failed. Right? Openly, I failed. Don't know what I was thinking. Don't know why I did it that way. But I'm here again, taking another shot. You know what? Even though I failed, and I didn't make as much money as I could have during the time, I didn't realize it at the time. Now that I look back, I realize what I lost. But at the time, you don't know. You don't know what you don't know until you get there and do it. So take action, positive internal monologue. The other thing is you got to value your work. All right? If you're going to an office and one doctor charges $99, one doctor charges $199, who do you think is a better doctor? Honestly, they're charging $199. They must be doing something different. They must have something that they can justify that. Oh, we can't do that here. I can't do that with my patient base. The guy down the street is, right? You have to value what you're doing. If you're charging, which I did, again, public enemy number one. I made all these mistakes. You know what I tried to do? $59 an exam. You know what I got? A $59 patient. Knew what they didn't care about? Anything I had to say as a doctor. They wanted the cheapest price, the cheapest contacts, the cheapest thing they could get, and I was a means to the end. Now that I charge more, people value my opinion. They value what I'm conveying. The movie Catch Me If You Can. When you have authority, when you have knowledge, when you have that, you know, higher price point, it comes with some power, right? People respect that. You have to be doing something to justify that and be in business. It's just the mental mindset that we have. It's a bias that we have that if you charge more, it's worth more. Now, again, you have to back it up. But I think I've always said, give me one shot with a patient and I'll have a patient for life, right? I can sell them on what we're doing, what I believe in, right? But if you charge too little, they won't take you seriously. They won't think you have authority to give them advice. You have to believe in yourself. You have to value what you're doing. And again, you're not going to be the flavor for everyone else. I got a review by someone that wanted to pay like $80 for an exam, glasses, frames, lenses, out the door. They didn't want to pay anything more than $80. They paid $100, which again, we made happen. And he's like, I could have went to America's Best and got it all for $80. These guys suck. You only go to them if you're rich. Yeah, we're not for everyone, apparently. But these are things that are just going to happen. If people aren't complaining about your cost, you're not charging enough, right? 20% should be complaining. I don't have 20% complaining. I'm not raising my prices. I need to do what I'm preaching to you guys. But what I'm saying is value what you do. That supplement, that procedure, you sell what you believe in. If you don't believe in yourself, they're not going to believe in you either, right? So take action. We got this positive mindset. Positive soundtrack going, and then you value what you do. You charge what you're worth. The last thing that I will say, and this one is really stinking cool, you need to redefine success, right? A couple podcast episodes ago, we'll link to those below, we talked about not being destination oriented. Enjoy the journey. The journey is the reward. Well, when you redefine success, one of the things that I heard, and this was really cool, is a measure of success is not whether you have a tough problem to deal with, but if it's the same problem you were dealing with a year ago. If it's a new problem, you're moving on, you're succeeding, right? You're gonna have problems. You just don't want to be the same problems you had a year ago. And I'm growing. I want to expand. That was my biggest problem. I'm doing it now, right? I have a bunch of new problems because of the growth, but I don't have a problem that I need to grow and find a new spot. I kept beating on that door and I got the answer, right? But the journey is the reward. Don't be outcome oriented. I think a mindset to have for this is that if you can define certain things, for example, I think when I get to run an office, when I get to make moves to cut costs, to grow the office, learn new ways to be better at business, collaborate with my peers, and feel like I'm on a level playing ground, that's success for me. And I get to do that every day. And that's what my job affords me, that I get to do all those things. I'm running my office, trying to cut costs, trying to get better at business, right? These are all things that are part of the process. But if I can do that on a daily basis, I'm succeeding. It's not if I get 10 offices, if I get to that 10 million, right? Yeah, those are goals I'm chasing. But do I get it around the business? Do I get to chase this dream and better myself? If I get to do that, if whatever job I have allows me those things, I'm succeeding. What is your definition of success that's not destination oriented? Let me know. I want to know. Like, good practice. You can send an email. Let me know. If you don't do that, I don't care. Do it for yourself. Send it in a text message to yourself. But I do implore you, being accountable to other people, to putting your dreams out there, the ultimate elixir of giving yourself some juice, because now it's in the ether. Now people are holding you accountable. You've said it. That's why I do this podcast every single week. I wish I could selflessly say, I do it for you. I do it for you. But at the end of the day, I do it for me because it motivates me. I process these things. I think about them. And I'm like, I have to do what I'm talking about. I have to practice what I preach. And that makes me better. Iron sharpens iron. We all get better together. I'll have more for you next week. We're aware of the time gone. We are to the closing thought of the episode. And today we are talking about evaluating our processes, Well, you've heard me say this, systems scale, people don't. As I'm looking to grow and expand, I want to scale my business. I'm looking at all the processes I have in place, right? And something I heard, and I wanted to share this with you, is that a good process allows things to move forward. A bad process merely tries to avoid errors. Think about that. I thought that was pretty enlightening. Are you trying to move things along? Are you trying to be better? Or are you merely trying to prevent an error? Bad process only tries to prevent errors. It actually limits you. It constipates motion. It stops things from moving. And that's not what you want in business. You want to keep moving forward. So make sure that when you look at a process in your office, are you merely trying to prevent an error, or are you trying to get better? Are you trying to keep things moving along? That's what I have for you. Dr. Lily out.